Radio, your gamer's role. www.d20radio.com.
Translating the strain.
Translating the strain.
Hello and welcome to the second episode of Translating the Strange. With me tonight is my co-host, Brandon Ording.
Hello.
And also with us tonight is Darcy Ross.
Hello.
And we have been lucky enough to have with us as a special guest, Mr. Bruce Cordell himself.
Hey, thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure, as always, Bruce. Thank you for joining us. So, The Strange, fantastic new RPG. Last time we spoke, the Kickstarter was in full swing. So, what's the recap on that, Bruce? What you guys happy with the results? Was there anything special, exciting that happened towards the end you wanted to share?
Well, I guess that... be clear to anyone listening to this that we made our funding goals, although that happened pretty quickly early on. But I am happy to say that near the last few days, we really accelerated and we managed to hit several of our goals. I think we got over, 400K, something like along those lines. But we managed to get several books in, including a recursion book and a bestiary, an adventure, and many other things. So yeah, it turned out to be pretty exciting, and then we all took off like a week. I don't think we quite recovered, honestly, until like after the holiday recently.
Yeah, it's a lot, and especially on top of the fact that and I saw it all. You guys were continuing your work on Numenera as well during that. It's not like you really took a pause from that.
Well, that's true. In fact, some of the writing we actually were. And Monty, the Strange, as well as we were doing the Kickstarter, and sure. Shauna was going full speed ahead on Numenera, but we were all. It was a full time job, honestly, to do the Kickstarter every single day as well. So it was a hard month, but it was well worthwhile doing and very exciting. But I was happy that we've put it behind us now and we can start working on the actual products that were promised.
Absolutely, and we're ready and waiting for them. So, you know, even beyond that, we've had the opportunity to play test, and we have gotten special permission from Monty Cook Games to actually share some of our feedback and discussion of our playtest session. And that's one of the reasons why we invited Darcy to join us, because Darcy was one of the players. I should preface that the fact that I hadn't played with Darcy before. I'd met her briefly at Gen Con last year, and we've talked online with over Numenera and The Strange. But a couple weeks ago, it was a weekend and my family was out of town, so I found myself free to play a game. So I very quickly reached out to some friends and acquaintances in other cases. And so I was able to be joined by Brandon and Darcy and another gentleman, Andrew Cady, who is the GM for the Ninth World Chronicles podcast. So we had a really cool crew for that game. So wanted to share with you and get some of your feedback, Bruce, on some of what we did. And obviously we're not going to go into super specifics because of the general NDA over playtesting any of these. We don't want to spoil surprises for people, but I think it's a great opportunity to talk about our impressions of the game and even some, you know, tidbits that we came up with the plot, because it's a very, when playtesting, it's a very loose plot. And I thought we came up with some pretty fun elements altogether. So, oh, excellent. So as I said, I GM'd, and I'll be very honest. I had very little preparation on it. In fact, it wasn't until about an hour before that I even decided what we were going to do. Obviously I wanted to play test The Strange, and it was a great opportunity with these folks since they were, interested. But then they all created characters, and because we had three, we luckily had three of the different classes, and obviously we can speak, or sorry, types. We can speak to what those types are, because that's been released to, you know, the public. So, Darcy, tell us a little bit about who you chose to play.
So I had actually made this character over sort of Christmas time when I dragged my younger sister into playing a very brief playtest with me. So I had something already planned, and I was... Val Romer, a skeptical paradox who solves mysteries. Is it okay that I say those?
Yeah, those are all released.
Those are all released. Okay, good. Yeah, so I was sort of conspiracy theorist, you know, mistrusting everybody and hacking into things, I guess, kind of.
Very cool.
Yeah, the skeptical Excellent. Could go either way, kind of, you know?
Cool. And then Brandon?
I made up a character. It was a Vector, a lucky Vector who looks for trouble. His name was Darren Dirkwood the Fourth. He was a he was a Yale dropout. So it's kind of like the idea that he was very athletic but very dumb, and it was his father's money that kept him in school until that dried up.
And we'll get to that father's money when we did the twist that what tied them together. And then Andrew, I'll speak for him on his behalf. Andrew played a character he called Alexander Dark, who is a brash spinner who leads. And so we had a really nice mix. I jokingly referred to them as kind of the Scooby-Doo crew. With the lucky Vector and Darren being kind of the Fred, the leader. I had that backwards. Alexander was the Fred, the leader, whereas Darren was kind of Scooby and Shaggy all in one, and Val was kind of Velma and Daphne all in one. So it that was a 2-minute discussion that just got dragged out longer than it actually was. So to the basic premise was very loose, and I don't want to give too much away on it. But one of the things was that the characters would be aware of the strange in some way. So having seen some episodes of Sherlock and even some episodes of Doctor Who, came up with the ideas that they had kind of met online, and they all had some kind of connections to the strange or understanding of the strange, but things that happened to them in their personal lives that kind of how did I explain it to you guys? Certain things that basically kind of drove them to this, you know, something's going on, some conspiracy theory-esque type thing. And we kind of played up that Val was maybe kind of the lead of whatever site that was. But Darcy, tell us about what happened to Val that kind of set her up with all that.
Right. So the things that were happening to us were sort of big, sudden life-changing events. So I was fired from my job very suspiciously, I think was my deal.
Mm-hmm. And we didn't go too much into that one after
that. No,
we
didn't.
Sorry about that.
Oh, that's okay.
It was a fairly short session. And then Brandon, what happened to Darren?
You kind of Yeah, like I mentioned earlier. Before, it's like he was kind of a trust fund kid. You know, his father was certainly rich, you know, being the fourth. And then the parents' money had mysteriously disappeared. Their fortune was gone. So he wanted to know why.
Yeah. So he was kind of kicked out of Yale. And then Alexander, Andrew's character, his girlfriend, long-term girlfriend had up and broke up with him with no real rhyme or reason. So, and it was one of these kind of things where people were conspiracially tying some of this stuff together and, hey, why is this happening to me? And, you know, why do I have this knowledge that there's this thing, but not know why it affects me and why these things would be happening. So that was kind of the hook I put for each of them to kind of tie them in to what they had to do. And again, to try and be as loose as possible, they had to investigate a corporation to find out what that link was and why that was linked to them. So very quickly, I used information from my, that's the nice thing about this being in, you know, starting in modern Earth, is I was able to use some experiences of my own in the corporate world to kind of fill out the world and explain what they'd been through. We picked Seattle for the location of the setting, for lots of reasons. And we actually went on Google Maps and picked out a building that, that this was taking place in, and or this corporation that they were investigating was located in. So they came up with a plan. I'll let you guys talk a little bit more. What the plan, they got some information that this is where it was at, and somehow somebody got, was it Val, got the plans. And then from there, what were yours? How did you guys figure out more on that? What was your game plan?
Well, we were looking for sort of back way entrances into the floor that we knew sort of held the offices that we would be interested in. And there is an elaborate plan involving a Starbucks and some vents that we had to climb up and sneak into.
Yeah, so a quick trip to REI to pick up some climbing gear, and
right.
And then we basically found our way climbing up through the air vents of the building to bypass security. So that got us up into a maintenance closet up and on like the 10th floor. So
and they rolled well in regards to their interaction with the guy from REI. So he cottoned on that they were doing urban spelunking and like totally tricked him out. So they had like all the right gear. So that that became an asset for them.
Cool. Did you guys find that as you were sneaking in that you, or at any point soon thereafter, used any of your abilities granted by either your focus or your type? I suppose they all were to some extent.
Yeah, I think somebody had climbing. Was it you, Brandon?
I was skilled in climbing, and I think at one point I was able to use some of the aspects of the lucky to to take there because of the pool of points.
Oh, so good.
So I was able to use that. I also had a pretty interesting cipher that came into play at one point to melt a door.
Absolutely. And they did encounter some locks and some security systems, including a passwords to get into a computer. They were very inventive in how they approached it. And we found some, I actually bought on the fly off of DriveThruRPG some corporate building blueprints that I was able to quickly pull into Roll20. And we used to navigate the floors and had a lot of fun with that. And by the way, this was all online, if I didn't say so initially. So everybody is in very different locations. So it was pretty cool to play it and pull it together that quickly. And again, the cipher system being as deft as it is, that you can, as a GM, pretty much ad lib a lot of stuff and be able to pull elements in, especially in a modern setting. It's very easy to pull up maps and explain contextually where people are and what they're seeing. It's relatable. That's one of the things I struggle with as a GM in a Numenera setting, or even some of the different recursions in The Strange, to describe and use frames of reference to describe to the players.
So once you guys broke in and got through these locks, what did you ultimately discover? What the cause was? That was there something in common that?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, we ended up breaking in and finding a lab that had a number of ciphers and some research information on it. And then a nicely timed GM intrusion on David's part brought us right in smack in the interacting with Andrew's character, his girlfriend. Turned out that she was actually working for this company now. So we suddenly had to deal with her showing up right in the middle of us breaking in.
Oh. So.
Yeah. And they dodged security guards, and even at one point posed as a person working there and the receptionist. And they even pulled some bluff checks against, I'm the substitute for Angela or Angie, which was good.
But after, exploring around in the lab and finding some information, it's like we learned that we were quickened, whatever that meant. And eventually we had to make our way up to another floor. And after we did that, we found ourselves standing in a green field.
Yeah, the organization had a portal to a recursion, and they stepped through, and to hasten the translation process, they had this portal that would do that. So that was part of it. And that's pretty much all we got to. We spent some, we had spent some time building the characters and talking up and doing the setup and all that. But it was a lot of fun. It was, as I said, it was really fun to start in that kind of stage of kind of know about it, but not kind of knowing about it, and the kind of conspiracy theorist, but also based in the modern or near future modern world. I like that a lot.
Yeah. Overall, we spent probably about, 4 or 5 hours playing, including the character creation with a few occasional breaks in the flow of the game to maybe talk about some of the rules or talk about that kind of stuff. And, so about 4 or 5 hours, and, we got through a decent scenario. I mean, we had a couple breaks, and we had to, at one point we stopped and started discussing, I think, a couple different kind of rules, aspects and stuff, but.
Yeah. And we kind of skimmed through a lot of the different interactions. They went through multiple floors of this building to finally get to what they did. I think three or four floors, dodging security guards, as he said earlier, melting doors, breaking it, hacking into a computer system, lots of information.
Yeah, occasionally failing to evade guards who were on our tail all the way to the green field. So,
did you guys ever have a firefight, or was it mainly an intrusion and interaction sort of situation?
We actually managed to avoid getting into any real fights.
They were absolutely on the verge of it, but they really avoided it. And we talked a lot about that, about how in more modern settings, people tend to, in games set in modern worlds, people tend to avoid combat very much. And we talked about how, the presence of guns and, instant death gives you that, fear of getting into those kind of conflicts in a more modern setting. So very interested to see how that continues to play out.
Now, to put a bit of contrast to that, the playtest session that I ran this past Saturday, I used a similar, scenario. And they got into a fight with the security guards. One of my friends was playing she was playing an ex-military, veteran. And she had this, this tricked out, silenced handgun she brought with her. And when they got interrupted by the guards, and she just put two right in the guy's chest and dropped him. So it was just it was pretty interesting to see how using the same sort of initial setup, things kind of went in a very different direction. The group that I ran, they spent a lot of time kind of planning out stuff. They found a place across the street so they bought that or rented that out so they could, check out the security patrols and all kinds of stuff. And, one person decided to try to get a job interview and, so they could recon the building by, getting in there for an interview. Another person found and actually looked up people on Facebook to see if they could find someone who worked there. And they found them, and they found that he hung out at Taco Mac or something. So they went and basically got that guy to got him drunk. And there was this whole crazy side escapade about them going to his apartment and waiting for him to get there. And then I threw an intrusion on them, and he had a roommate. So then that just led to a bunch of crazy stuff. But yeah, so it's like they kind of got security, you know, car access cards, and they find a way to sneak in, and they're looking around and found a server room and broke into it. But then they got in the middle of the fight with the guards, and, you know, so then, yeah, so somebody shot the guard, and somebody else freaked out. It's like, oh, I wasn't on, they didn't sign up for committing murder. So it was really interesting to see how things played out, similar in some aspects, but then very different. We did actually, you know, try out the combat rules a few times on my session. So
it sounds like you guys in both the session where Brandon, Darcy, Andrew played, your other session, you're really finding that the rules of this underlying cipher system and the strange rules in particular are seem like they're working well. It looks like they're just kind of falling into place. Is that, would you say that?
Yeah, I would say for the most part, that's very true. A couple of the people in the session that I ran already had a little bit of experience because we've run a couple of Numenera games. Other people had played D&D before, but had never touched the cipher system. And I actually had one player who was the first time she had ever played an RPG. And she picked it up nice and quick. I don't know. I would have tried to, something like D&D or Pathfinder. That would have been probably pretty difficult to try to get her to jump right into. But she went through, made a character, and, you know, she was right in there in the middle of everything. So, as a matter of fact, she was the one who pulled out the handgun and shot the guard. So,
sounds like the answer is no, because I actually did the same thing in my internal playtest. I was like, okay, let's just go through a translation gate and, cut to the chase here. Mm-hmm. So I haven't actually personally used the translation rules myself, right, with my internal group, but we did get some feedback from the overall test playtesters saying we liked the translation rules, but they seem to be a bit confusing. So I actually, one of the things I worked on was overriding the translation rules as they originally appeared. So they're got a nice new, longer and more in-depth explanation, and hopefully more in-world, in-character use and explanation as well. Should make them a little bit more approachable, and cool. Be interesting to see how folks react to those.
Yeah, that's actually good to hear, because that's one thing I was just about to mention, is that the one area where we did feel like things got a little bogged down was because I ended up in my game, they ended with, they found information on how to translate to Arden. So they were like, well, let's do that. Well, I'm like, well, okay, so let me go get the translation rules. And then it was like, well, it's this amount of time if this or this person. And then we just kind of went, all right, you translate to Arden. And then that's where so.
I like there being some kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Some kind of means and something to do it, that it's not just instantaneous, that there's some kind of process. Thank you. And I guess because I wasn't as prepared as I should have been, I didn't set the pieces up for it as written. So I'm very interested to see what the kind of revisions on that will be.
Yeah. I like the tension of it. I think that'll come up a lot in, when you're, we had a chase, like if we had to translate and, you know, get away from those guards, it would have been even more tense than it was. So I'm looking forward to making that a problem for my future players.
Do you guys think that you're going to do another session that's going to pick up where you dropped off, or no?
I'd like to. It was a fantastic crew. I mean, I couldn't have asked for a better group of players. I mean, they're all extremely inventive and interesting and bring a lot of characterization to it. And those are all things I really look for in players. Personally, I'd like to play myself, but I'm very easy to fall into the GM role and be happy with that. So, And I think it helps because sometimes if I prepare, it comes off a little too railroady, whereas having to be unprepared and improv as much as I did made it, I think, a little bit more spontaneous, although sometimes creates plot holes. So the plus and the minus of that.
You can always go in afterwards and write an email saying, well, this was what happened.
Yeah, right. You know,
that's what I do anyway. I was asking mainly because I was curious to see how your characters will end up reacting to translating and having to pick a new focus, right? It's like, hey,
right.
Changing my nature to some extent.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how they handle that and what the, you know, that was one of the reasons we stopped when we stopped A. It was pretty late at the time. But also we thought about, you know, no matter what, unless you pre-plan where you're going to go, that in the game you're going to have to do some kind of, okay, we're translating, let's reconfigure the characters. We're very interested to see how that works out and you know, what information you guys give to a GM to help smooth that transition, what pieces you put in place in the character sheets to make that happen. I mean, it was a very, again, the cipher system is a very liberating system for a GM. It really supports that level of improv and, you know, let you go with what the player says. You know, I can't remember a time in the game that I said, nah, you don't want to do that, you know? And it's freeing for a player too.
I agree.
But yeah, so David, you need to get ready for session two, and you know.
Yeah, obviously, I'll plan. I did plan when I told Andrew that his character's girlfriend left him. I did have that planned thread of she got a job with the company, and they told her not to be, you know.
I instantly leapt to the conclusion actually that she was like one of the masterminds behind this, and she's like, I just posed as your girlfriend.
Yeah. No, what was funny was Andrew totally turned that around. She came out and, you know, my idea was she had gotten a job as essentially kind of a tech underling who kind of compiled details that, and in getting that job, they told her about him and basically said that he was dangerous. So she comes and she's face to face with him and two strangers, and he totally turned it around. He played a bluff and basically like, oh, you work here too? And it was pretty awesome. It was, again, it showed the great skill of all three of them as players. But speaking for Andrew, since he's not here, of him quickly turning it back around on there and rolling well enough that she bought into it and was like, well, they told me you were dangerous. You know, it was good. It was really good. Awesome. But yeah, no, it was a blast. And was there any other things that we had questions about, or have you gotten any other feedback from the playtest that, you know, we should look forward to seeing in future iterations?
Yeah, honestly, a lot of the playtest has been very positive. So just trying to find trends of what people are having difficulty with has been slightly difficult. And that's probably a partly reflection on the fact that, you know, Numenera itself is the underlying, you know, the cipher system based on Numenera is the underlying game system, which has been, you know, playtested quite a bit. So that probably is a strength to that. Like I said, you know, we got some, I definitely was able to pick out the trend of translation itself being a little bit difficult. I think another thing that kind of came to light was having to always start out your game without any guidance on, like, how should we start out our players? Like, should we just start? Are they naive to the strange? Are they starting out knowing about the strange? Are they freelancers? Do they work for the estate? And actually, based on that sort of feedback, I have created a whole section on different ways you can introduce your players to the strange, to the game of the strange, right? So that's actually been very useful as well. And certainly a very great way to start, you know, a game is like you did, David, you know, because that's part of the fun, kind of finding this out. But every time starting that way can get a little old.
Yeah.
It's like, really? Okay, now I have to pretend I don't know anything about
the
strange again? Okay, God, all right. No, so that actually is kind of a section on, like, how do all your players start off in the know? Do some of them start off in the know, and they can like be help the DM be the voice, the piece of speaking, like, oh, here's what you do, and I work for the estate or I work for the Quiet Cabal. So that's been kind of fun, and these things have kind of come up and have been developed precisely because of playtesting, thanks to people like you. So actually, let me take this moment to say thank you guys for playtesting. I really, really appreciate it. All of MCG, Monty, Shauna, Charles, Tammy, we all really, really appreciate it. Thank you so much, both you three in particular and all anyone else who's listening who's a playtester. It's been invaluable and will continue to be invaluable.
It between this and Numenera, I'd never really playtested table stuff before, so it's been a real thrill to be part of those and to kind of see how things improve. And just like you were talking about, I think in the last one, that section about how to talk about are you naive to the strange, are you in the know, and that kind of thing. I think that made it in one of the recent releases. So I'd seen that and thought, oh, okay, that's new, and I like what they're doing with that. And I saw, and I'm not going to go into details, but I saw the bits that have been added now about how to create your own recursions and some things you can use to kind of structure that. And very excited to play with those. In fact, I'm working with someone on a idea for a recursion that I'm really excited about. So
that sort of feedback on you using that system, we would find very, very useful. As you can see, we've been very busy writing. We have started writing. We hit it hard, and that's a big chunk of material that got turned over last time.
Definitely, I'll give you some feedback on that when we have a little bit more solidification. We're talking about the setting in general before we start putting the pieces in place. So, and it was interesting to see, I think there was a specific note that, hey, these are things you as player characters can do to in character build your own recursions, but then, hey, if you're a GM, do what you need to do. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, because often rules, be like, well, no, you have to do it this way. No, you're the supreme being of your universe, right? You can make it as you will. But on the other hand, sometimes it's nice to have design prompts, which the players will use as part of their formalized rule system, but you can think, oh yeah, I can make my recursion like this too, yay.
Absolutely. Is there, trying to think if there's anything else. So what are the upcoming milestones for The Strange, through the Kickstarter and through just the general release?
Well, from the,
you can talk about.
Yeah, sure. No, there's quite a few. One of the big ones was that big chunk of material, which was several different chapters of the book, which, as you saw, may not have saw, the material for all the players was brought up from all the way to tier 6 for all the different foci and for the types. I'm not sure. I think that was about 100,000 words, all said and done. The next milestone will be another 60-some thousand words in the middle of February, which I'm working on. And the final bits will be for the design side of things. Of course, we're always revising and stuff as we playtest and get playtest feedback. But just in general, we'll be like the middle of March, sometime there. We'll continue to take feedback from playtesters, though, after that, because it'll still be in editing for a little while. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the first major chunk went to the editor, Miranda Horner, the 100,000 words I was talking about, on the middle of January, or like January 17th, something like that. So
excellent.
And art's coming in. We the first phase, set one playtest, art order went out a month and a half ago. The second set two art order went out right around the same time that the first 100,000 words had to be ready. So we've been busy, but the art started to come in from set one, and it's been wonderful, right? The sketches, sketches, then we make comments on those, and those go back out again. And some of the finals are coming in, and those look really wonderful as well. So I'm very excited to see this stuff come in. It's been amazing.
Yeah, every time like a little sample of that gets posted, it's just like, wow.
Yeah.
So from everything I've seen, is it Matt Stawicki? Am I pronouncing that right?
Matt Stawicki is the lead artist, yeah.
Right. So he's serving kind of in the capacity that Kieran did on Numenera?
Yep. That's exactly right. Yeah, a lot of the design, you know, it's like some of the design elements even were suggested, you know, like why is Rook look, you know, full of bioengineered things and, you know, suggested by his you know, explorations into what, you know, Rook could look like, right? We're like, oh,
very cool.
Those are the kind of great things that a lead artist can provide.
Well, and I think what it does from what I've seen from those two great comparisons is it gives kind of a center point that you can then go to other artists that are contributing to say, hey, start from here. You know, this is kind of the unifying themes, and these are the conceptual things that tie the whole thing together. Go from here, you know, and not that everybody is mimicked or whatever, but there's always some elements that you see trickle through, and it
very much gives I mean, we have a style for Earth, a style for Rook, and a style for Arden, and, you know, the strange itself, the dark energy network, and we have a lot of instructions for the artists working on us, but one of them is like, go through and look at all these pictures that we have for Earth that, you know, Matthew did. Mm-hmm. Go through and look at all these pictures we have for this, you know, the Arden that Matthew did, right? So,
right.
So yes, definitely very much so.
But it brings a cohesive, unifying theme to everything. So I'm very appreciative of that. And I also am taking it apart from now a person who's working on RPGs, more of a, like when you talk about word counts, it means more to me than I think some people, because now I know, you know, editors' rates and writers' rates and stuff are based on word counts. It's not just a, you know, a bragging right thing or it's a mean, there's a means of measurement for very many reasons now. Yeah, cool. So what else is coming up? Will we start seeing some of those art samples kind of trickle through?
You know, that is a good idea. I'm going to make a note because I also, one of the things I also do every day is, you know, keep people who are interested in Numenera and the strange, you know, and as everyone on MCG does, you know, and try write about things, and actually throwing a little bit of the art out there is a great idea. Thank you. I will do that in the next few days for the strange.
It's like Christmas every time I see more concept art for and the finished pieces for Arden and Rook. Like, I don't know. It's just been really evocative, and it's just so great to see that trickle down. So
Even more incentive to do so. All right, I made myself a note. Yeah, speaking of great art, this is aside, this is not the strange, but it's the same game system. I just got my personal copy of the Numenera Ninth World Bestiary in the mail today. It's physical, and I'm holding it right now, and it has a lot of really wonderful art in it as well. And I'm like, yay!
Oh yeah, it's absolutely gorgeous. Hopefully on our next episode of Transmissions from the Ninth World, we were talking about getting some of you guys on to talk about, kind of get a director's commentary on the book, because it is a beautiful book and there's so much in there. And we sneak previewed it last episode, but we really wanted to get your kind of take on some of the behind the scenes stuff and, you know, who had what contributions if you want to share, and some particular ones that stand out for you guys. But of course, the benefit being is with this being the Cypher system and being fully compatible, I mean, anything in there is great fodder for the strange. You know, figuring out what recursion or even, you know, make new recursions that you can pull those in is going to be a lot of fun. I see one thing, and we didn't really play with it, you know. In a lot of ways, I see somebody's kind of intro game to the strange being very thematically similar to what happens in the Matrix, where it's you're in a world and you find out there's a bigger world out there, and you're invited into it. But one thing with the modern setting that I think you could easily do is with as many different kind of recursions that could exist, things could leak from that into the modern world. So even though you're in the modern world, you don't just have to face security guards and stuff. You may face things that leak in from those other worlds. I don't know. I mean, does that fit with your idea of the strange person?
If I understand what you're saying correctly, you're saying that maybe this corporation might actually have either some ciphers, certainly they could have, or they could have something that has come through an opposite gate that, you know, is really just, you know, hasn't been translated to fit into the context of Earth. And when that happens on Earth, you know, that kind of injects kind of a horror element.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you had the opportunity to read
The Paradox Room.
The Paradox Room, one of the stories in there was basically that happening exactly. A dragon from Arden came through, and it came through as a dragon, but the laws of Earth, which is standard physics, didn't quite support it, so it kind of started to degenerate, but still it was a dragon, so it was just eating homeless people in an alley. It was pretty horrific.
Very cool. And yes, I totally forgot even to follow back on that. I think didn't that come out right after or right during the Kickstarter? Yeah, so
the early rewards that got unlocked. And I was like, okay, guys, write your short stories now. I'm like,
right. So sorry, no, I have not gotten to that. And thank you for reminding me about that. I will go probably read that tonight.
Hey, you need to go do that because those stories are both really good. And you mentioned earlier The Matrix, which was kind of funny because in my playtest that I ran, The Matrix actually explicitly got mentioned because my brother was actually playing a character. He called himself Duality, and he basically was kind of a computer hacker guy. And at one point, he specifically brought up the idea that it's like, the Trinity minus Neo equals Duality, you know, 3 minus 1. So I don't know. It was just kind of an interesting reference. So it's like there is definitely that whole like, you know, you've been living in a dream world. Now, you know, find the true reality kind of thing. So, yeah, I could definitely see a Matrix parallel, you know, as far as the characters being revealed, you know, to find out what's actually going on.
And what the heck? You could make a recursion that is the Matrix.
Sure.
And they could
be cool too.
They had Spark. They could maybe become quickened and come out into the real world and be like, what's going on?
Yeah. Absolutely. So, yeah, and you know, opening the idea of recursions, I don't want to give too much away on mine. I'm hoping, and that's actually a question I do have for you. MCG released licensing for fan stuff for Numenera. Is that the intention for The Strange, or do you feel like you guys have so much of your own that you want to do for this? And it being a little bit more open for yourselves to play in, what's your mindset on that?
I imagine that that we'll have similar licensing opportunities for The Strange, just as they exist for Numenera.
Cool. Not saying that I'm going to go that way, but you know,
that's my guess. I can't. Don't hold me to it, because maybe there's something crazy that I can't foresee. But I think I would imagine that would eventually become the case.
Okay. Well, we look forward to that possibility. Anybody have any other questions for Bruce about some of the things that we experienced or some of the things that you're hoping to see?
Circling back to the playtest stuff a little bit, it's like, how much longer do you think the playtest itself will actually continue running as far as new weekly, you know, here's what we want you to do this week?
I think that, what is it? I don't know if it'll be weekly. In fact, we didn't release anything today. But we'll continue do the playtesting and anytime people want to solicit information to us, you know, we'll continue to accept it, and we'll probably continue to put things out that specifically solicit feedback. Like I said, probably till the end of March, certainly to the middle of March, but editing is going to continue through the end of March, and maybe I'm not 100% certain on the editing schedule because I didn't put that together. That's been handled by Shauna and now Stan. So, but I know that editing will continue after we turn it over.
I do have one question. Do you have to shout his name when you say Stan?
Yes.
You have the exclamation point at the end?
Yes, you must.
Okay. Stan!
All right.
Stan's great.
I put a check mark now that you have successfully shouted his name.
Yep.
I keep a scorecard on that. Just an FYI.
Yeah, one thing I'm looking forward to, so one of the stretch goals was the sort of database of homemade recursions, right? Something like that. I'm hoping, like, I have a million ideas for recursions, right? I've, you know, got tons of books on my shelf. I can now use them in the Cypher system. I'll definitely be looking forward to sort of help with, like, plot hooks that would require, you know, that would interest my players into going there, and sort of how, like, just getting more ideas about how to drag them around a bunch of recursions and sort of a plot that would somehow encompass all of that. So that's one thing I'm, like, really curious to see come out of this.
Like a sort of an adventure sort of thing, or?
Adventure is just for ideas. Yeah. It's just, it's such a different way of thinking about a setting. I think I'll be looking forward to just more examples of that.
Gotcha. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's a very good point.
I detect with this one more of kind of a, I don't want to use the word meta game or meta plot, but, the whole things that have been hinted at about Rook and Arden, and, you know, how the Earth fits into all that, and obviously there's more recursions, but I could easily see someone really playing that up and jumping between those and maybe some new recursions. But I also could see the structure of using the strange as a means to do exactly what Darcy just said: take some bit of literature, or I overpronunciated that for some reason. Something that means a lot to you, and essentially create that world as a recursion, and simply, you know, I could easily see, like, okay, well, then the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Well, that's them going, using the strange to go into the recursion that is Narnia. You know, I could see, you know, other stories. I mean, heck, you know, we saw recently the guy who took his daughters through a Numenera game, and they were essentially, you know, like Disney princesses. And I could easily see that style thing that you're setting up with the Cypher system and the strange as the means to go from our modern world into these storybook settings or video game settings or what have you.
Yeah. I definitely could foresee the same thing. It's just the rule set is wide open for that that sort of you know, like you were talking about before, the Numenera / Cypher system rule set was already so you know, loose and flexible, but the strange gives it kind of the context. I'm probably just repeating everything you're just saying.
No.
But the strange kind of just gives you explicit permission to say, do it, you know, go into these different things and create these different worlds and just adapt it with this rule set. It works. Have fun.
Well, and from what I've seen of the recursion stuff, you're giving good frameworks for building those worlds and putting them into the role-playing context so they work together. So they translate, you know, for lack of a better word.
Yeah, no, it's to actually create a believable, you know, couple, you know, main worlds that will, like, like you said, we will have other recursions as well, but the focus is on Earth. The two main recursions, Arden and Rook, and actually a good bit of information about being out in the dark energy network itself, what it's like.
And that's there. That really interests me and thrills me. I'm very interested to see that portion of things.
We haven't
There's
seen
good stuff there.
Yeah, we haven't seen much about the actual, you know, out in the strange yet. So
I just finished writing that section a couple days ago, actually. So maybe the next playtest release we'll set that out.
Just some stuff.
Good.
Unedited, as everything has been so far.
Well, cool. Well, I'm thrilled that you joined us tonight, Bruce. Is there anything else that you want to share, or anything else that you want to, you know, put in our minds as something we can look at next episode? One of the things we've talked about is maybe talking about or focusing on a certain of the two main recursions for some prior episodes, obviously balancing what we know and what's been released to the public versus what's, you know, not yet ready to be released. So that's certainly something we'd be interested in kind of hashing out and seeing how far we could take that.
Yeah, that sounds like an interesting podcast potentially. I know we've released some Arden material. The Rook material is not released, or it's actually not complete. Actually, I think that's the deal. So I think there was some Rook material released. So you don't actually have a sketch of Rook, but sure. Arden. That might be an interesting compare and contrast.
Well, I was kind of thinking, you know, like just before the Numenera Core Guide came out, we had Monty and Shauna on transmissions, and we were talking about what is it like to live in the Ninth World, because these are all very cool concepts, but they're, as I said, of course, I'm a huge sci-fi fan, so you can always make references against other sci-fi, but I wanted to hear the context in that world. So that's kind of what I would be thinking about. Like, okay, let's talk about Arden. What are some of the groups? How are the relationships? How does that all work? So I'm very interested to see how that all comes together. So, all right, well, cool. I mean, one of our goals of this podcast is to keep people interested in the game during the space between the end of the Kickstarter and the beginning of the releases. So anything that you and the MCG crew would like to share, you know, please reach out to us, and we'd love to continue to share this passion for this great system you guys have built.
Well, it's amazing that you guys are so passionate about it so early on, and like I said, thank you for playtesting it, but also yes, thanks for having this podcast. It was clever translating the strange, you know, right out of the gate, I'm glad to be here.
Very cool. Thank you very much. And so we come to the end of our session. Thank you for joining us, Bruce and Brandon. Good job. Thanks for being on as always. We'll definitely have to get that second version of the play session of the playtest together. And then Darcy, you know, we didn't really kind of introduce Darcy too much as opposed to, she was part of the playtest with us and she joined in, and she's been very vocal in the Numenera community. And that's one of the reasons I reached out to her to join us for that playtest. And then for this, did you have fun tonight, Darcy?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I'm pretty new to podcasting, so I'm, you know, getting the flow of conversation has been good, but I'm honored to be on it and to be able to talk with Bruce and both of you hosts. It's been great.
Excellent. Can we have you join us again?
I would love to.
Okay. Excellent. So hopefully we'll have Darcy back on our next podcast and continue from there. Please check out the site, the fan site based around this. That's thestrangeplace.com, and that's thestrangeplace.com. It's a small growing community. It's nowhere near as big as the Ninth World Hub, but we're growing, and there's some discussions starting out, and it might be a good place to find some people with a similar interest and get into some playtests. So if anybody doesn't have anything else, we'll wrap for this evening, and thank everybody for listening, and please tune in next time.